the papers who go after you and say, oh, Lawrence Fox exposing woman. These pictures are from the papers. The picture you used was a paparazzi picture. Narinda doesn't come out of this looking good because she's selling. The reason she's upset with you for showing, Narinda's upset with you for showing her core is because she likes to sell it. And so she's losing our profit. And you don't come out well on this because no man should ever expose a woman like that. We are here to provide and protect for women. We are not here to kind of ridicule them and humiliate them publicly in that way. You should never, ever sexualize or objectify a woman in that way that you did. I think that was wrong.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Fox and Father with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father.
It's been a very exciting week because thanks to everyone who was watching, we had a mug made and for sort of shits and gigs, we had a mug made and they all sold out. So now we had to have more mugs made and now they've sold out. So this gave us an idea, which I will be telling you about possibly next week. About what we're going to do with all of this sort of stuff. So thank you very much for getting your Fox and Father mug. And I think we'll put a link in the whatever it is to so you can all have one. All right. So that's the Fox and Father mug thing. And thank you all again for watching as you do. For those of you who don't know, Calvin has an envelope, I have an envelope, and we don't know what's in each other's envelope. And I give him the story, we discuss it, he gives me the story, we discuss it, and then there's a third, chosen by A.N. Other, and we discuss that one as well, usually covering current events or bigger issues, and we try and get to the bottom of things. But before we get going, how are you, dear boy?
Splendid, I'm really good. It's spring, the sun is out, I love this time of year, honestly. It's my favourite. Had a good week, had a couple of baptisms at church. As this goes out, it's Ascension, which is great. A good time of year when our Lord ascended into heaven. All good. I've been losing weight. I've been to the gym 5 times a week for the last 3 weeks. I've cut out all sugar and alcohol, so I'm feeling really good about myself.
How long did it take you to start to notice feeling better when you cut out the sugar
first
and alcohol?
First week's always tough. But after
do you get like headaches? Don't have sugar... I'm quite rare that I have sugar. I'm not really a sweet tooth person. No. I mean, I do drink quite a lot of beer, so that's got quite a lot
of sugar in wine as well. You like white wine.
Yeah, great. Calm down, dear. Maybe I've got my sugar from the booze. But I very occasionally get a really strong, like, must-eat Mars bar thing. And it's usually at night. I'll go down and just before I go to bed and I'll eat a Mars bar. And then I just get a cracking headache. Yeah, it might be a sign of a...
That's not good. No.
I think it might be like, need more wine. And I'm like, no, must have Mars bar.
But when you haven't had sugar in a while, then you suddenly have it again, it tastes so much sweeter.
Does it?
Yeah.
So you, was this part of sort of extending a Lent vibe or what?
We talked about gluttony like a few weeks ago and I was like, I'm getting fat. I need to cut down. So I just stopped eating sugar, stopped drinking booze, and then said, I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week. And then for the last 3 weeks, I've done that.
And you've been cancelled.
I'm not going skinny. I'm just getting toned. It's good.
But you got cancelled for being sober.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to mention it on the show, but yes. On the way here, my sister uninvited me from an event that we're supposed to go to tomorrow. I was going to be her plus one. And she said, will you have a drink with me? Because her partner doesn't drink. And I said, I'm not drinking at the moment. She said, oh, I'm going to uninvite you then. I was like, what? She said, I want a drunk Calvin, not sensible Calvin. Okay.
I don't think I've ever, I mean, if there is a drunk Calvin, we've definitely seen drunk Calvin in Scathos.
No, I've had a drink. I like a drink. But I don't really like getting drunk these days.
Don't like getting drunk, no. But all I'm saying is I've not really noticed your kind of, Have I ever seen you drunk?
No.
No. What are you like?
Just, I don't know.
Do you get a bit leery? Do you start telling people what you think of them instead of really telling people what you think of them?
Yeah, I stop holding back. No, I just get like chipper and gleeful and jolly. Oh,
when are you starting back up again? I want to be there. I want to be in the room.
June.
Yeah. Okay, lovely. So you're happy, you're even more happy and serene than you are.
Yes.
Usually.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm I think I'm coming back from, I had a bit of a nightmare. you know, again, as the lefties went after me again. And then we had the election results, and I was just, I was surprised. I mean, I expected not to do very well, but I was like, wow, really? But I mean, obviously no one really cared in the election. I think the whole thing's rigged anyway, but if I'm honest, not in terms of me, but in terms of Sadiq Khan.
Yeah.
I know I live in a very Labour area.
Yep.
And everyone around there hates Sadiq Khan.
Yeah.
So that's got, I mean, obviously he's got his voter base around and about, and as we've discussed before, he's imported his voter base. Yeah. But I just thought, that's it. Well, I'm glad that, you know, it's a variety of reasons I have to leave London. But Sadiq Khan getting voted in has not made that decision any more difficult. It's made it much easier because I think he's killed this city. And I don't understand why people vote for knife crime, car taxes, rail strikes.
Well,
rubbish.
That's it now. He's in office in perpetua, isn't he? I don't see any way of him leaving other than potentially being promoted to Prime Minister, you know, the leader of the Labour Party. Yeah. I don't see a way for him to get booted out democratically from London.
Or maybe
he's got a block vote.
Maybe he'll get promoted to the head of the Muslim vote. I'm not sure they'd like him particularly, though.
He's the Muslim vote, isn't he?
Is he? Well, but the new movement, the Muslim vote with the 18 demands.
Oh, those people.
Yeah.
we'll get to them, I'm sure.
I bet we will. But I'm not sure they'd be thrilled with the LGBTQ plus ally part of his Muslim Islamic faith.
It always surprises me how he manages to play both sides, both the woke and the Mohammedans, and neither of them seem upset with him.
It's a marriage of convenience. Mm. Both need each other to propagate and expand their message. Yeah. And we're already off onto a conspiracy theory.
How are your puppies?
My puppies are beautiful.
Yeah.
And they are like, they've been a godsend. The energy in a house with new life is amazing anyway. And they've just been so good. And the kids have loved them. And they're now massive. And I think Worm One was pretty close to opening her eyes last night.
Oh, cool.
And Runty Sadiq is he's got a bit chunkier, and then I'm slightly in love with the one that Eugene calls Brickface Rocky.
Oh, right.
Who's Sadiq's, the other one that looks like Rocky, the white and black one.
Yeah,
but he's got a face like a brick, and so Eugene calls him Brickface Rocky. So that is great. It's quite nice. She's eating a lot of food. She's being an amazing mum.
Does she let you pet them?
Yeah, she's very, very chilled. But she's, you know, she adores me, as you know. So she's, but it's been happy, and I'm looking forward to seeing them walking around and running around.
Yeah. I'm going to come and see them because I need to see Blaze too.
He coming up dinner tonight.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Mm. Okay, so that's
my favorite social media content of yours, by the way.
Keep
more puppy content.
You only like puppy content?
Not only, my favourite.
Well, I know, but what I was trying to say this the other day on the social media thing. It's like, the reason why I'm not nice on social media to these people is because they don't want, they hate us.
Yeah, I know.
And then I spoke to one of my advisor friends, who wasn't you, and they said, the world is full of people being mean to people. Why don't you just be nice even to the evil people? Mm. And I'm like, I think that's what got us into this trouble in the first place.
That is how you started out. One of the first things I noticed about your social media back in the day, what really drew me to you, I thought, I respect this, is that everyone that hated on you, you said, let's have a chat. Yeah. Let's talk. You know, you don't see the world the way I do. Let's have a conversation about it. I thought, that's a nice approach.
Mm. But the problem with that approach is they still want to kill you.
Yeah, that is the problem.
So, and then if you accommodate and you allow them to kill you and you don't provide a very strong wall of resistance against them, I mean, maybe I'll try it. I've got a whole plan for July, August, September onwards as to what my engagement is going to be with these people anyway. Because at the end of the day, you know, doom scrolling through Twitter is not good. And it becomes like a habit.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a habitual person like me. But yeah, I did like talking to some of these people, but all they did was just go, you're wrong. Mm. And well, not only are you wrong, you're evil for being wrong.
There's something about Twitter in particular. I don't like myself on Twitter. Mm-mm. I don't think it brings out the best in people. You know, I took a break this weekend because I had an essay to write, and I thought, actually, I feel so much better having not been on Twitter.
Mm.
It's just a toxic environment.
it is a toxic environment, and it's the way that people are communicating a lot, and it's not a good thing because you're starting to hate people you never met, and there's already enough people you know who cause you problems in life.
But at the same time, it's the only platform that's free. You know, I watched one of Tucker Carlson's interviews this morning with this Russian chap, and I thought, I want to see this. I want to read this guy's book. It's interesting. Not that I'm going to agree with it all, but that's the point of reading, right?
So yeah,
I can figure out what I think. And then I found that it's not available in the UK at all. It's not available in the US at all. Completely. I felt censored. I felt, for the first time in my life, actually oppressed, right? I was like, this is a book I want to read. My government says I can't. Big tech like Amazon says I can't. I couldn't find it anywhere.
That's insane.
But Twitter's the only place you can see conversations like that being heard.
See, that's the problem. We've got to have no censorship. I mean, yeah. I suppose, what is an argument for censorship?
The argument is that if there's something explicitly, objectively bad, it should be banned, right? But when it comes to books, I think that's a very dangerous precedent to set, because who's to say which books are good, which books are bad? And of course, I can walk into Waterstones and find 1,000 books that tell me I should be woke or should support the Mohammedans. It would be very difficult for me to find a good, solid Christian book or a good, solid book that supports British history in a positive direction or a holistic direction.
Yeah.
So there's already a narrative being kind of crafted there. And when there's a book that's just, this book in particular was about the Great Reset, which is something that I'm against. And it was against globalism and it's against individualism. I was like, there's probably some stuff I disagree with in there, but it'd be good to see what I do agree with as well. If a book like that is going to be banned, then we're already, we've crossed that Rubicon, right?
I think that the censorship issue is huge. And, you know, the censorship, look at the news coming out about the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Yes.
You know, on YouTube, you couldn't mention this stuff. No. And they finally admitted.
Yeah.
So it's an example of censorship being bad. I struggle with the idea of, you know, like how far does free speech go? And therefore, how far does censorship go? So I don't really know.
With free speech, I think it's all about truth, right? So we've got to, our objective in life has to be to seek truth. And so if someone's censoring you to prevent you from seeking the truth, then that's a bad thing. Whereas if someone is censoring something that's objectively evil, then that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it comes down to who has an idea of what's objectively evil. Now, I would say the Christian faith teaches us that, but not everyone subscribes to that. So that's when it becomes problematic.
Yeah, and it also, knowing our devious little scheming leftist chums, the problem is they sit there and go, you know, we can hardly call, that's why I have a problem with the marches, with the Palestinian, well, they're not remotely Palestinian marches, but I have an issue with having them banned, because I go, well, why should I be allowed to gather and protest lockdowns and stuff like that?
I used to share that opinion. I used to think, well, all protests should be allowed and it's a free democratic society, but then we make an idol of democracy. I think if people are out there supporting a proscribed terrorist organization, then they should not be allowed. I think if we're saying, look, these guys are terrorists, they want to kill, they literally want to kill us.
And have done.
Then we should not allow that.
And have killed us.
Yeah.
Why do we forget this stuff? You know, do we forget the Manchester Arena bombing?
On the election paper, I voted for you, by the way.
Thank you. 1 in 14,000.
But on that paper, the Communist Party were on there.
I'm like, I beat the Communist Party.
But we wouldn't accept the Nazi Party on there. Why on earth do we accept the Communist
Party? I'll tell you why this is. I know why this is. And I can't claim credit for I've heard it. There is a lot of video documentary evidence of what the Nazis did to the Jews.
Yeah.
There's lots and lots of it, but there's very, very little to almost none of what the communists did to their own people.
Right.
Similar ideology. And that's why it's kind of acceptable and trendy to have the hammer and sickle, but the swastika is like a no-no. Yeah. Whereas actually they represent the same thing.
They're both equally evil.
Yeah, they're both equally evil, and that's why they do.
Just shocked me to see a communist above you on a ballot paper. I'm like, what world do I live in?
Well, they didn't. I got more votes.
Good.
So I'm more popular than communists.
Well, that's a good sign. That's
good. I'll put that on my death, on my tombstone. More popular than the communists. Right, we're going me to you first this week.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. There you go, my love. Why did you do that? I don't know. Hangover from the acting days. I saw a terrible bit of acting, writing, which everyone's applauding, called Little Reindeer or Baby Reindeer. It was, yes, everyone recommended it. Said it was
I
so
saw
good.
You tweeting about it.
It was dreadful.
Was it?
Yeah.
Tommy Robinson tweets, Ireland's Eurovision entry is a non-binary singer called Bambi Thug, a self-described witch who uses they, them, fae pronouns and performs this satanic ritual as their entry. Sick. I think Theon's going to show the clip for us now. I mean, this is sick. Tommy's right. The problem I have with this is that it's becoming more and more overt. Like, we used to have rumors of satanic ritual in Hollywood and in politics, in most of the public sphere. And now they're just out there. There's a literal, they've got the pentagram, they're dressed up as devils, and they're in their music videos, in their performances, in the opening ceremonies. This is a Eurovision Song Contest. This is like representing Ireland officially as a country, a Catholic country, saying we want the devil to worship, to represent us now. How have we fallen so far in a matter of decades?
Do you think that they're serious, these people, or do you think it's just faddish and they're copying they, them, Smith?
I don't think it matters either way.
Right.
I think if you're welcoming the devil and demons into your life, I don't think it matters if you think it's a joke or if you believe it's real. You're still welcoming the devil and demons into your life. And the problem I have with it is that it's the public side of it. So if people want to worship Satan, I think that's a bad thing. But if people want to put it out there as a public statement to say this is entertainment, this is a good thing, then that's even worse. Because the children watch the Eurovision Song Contest, for goodness sake. We're opening all kinds of minds up, all kinds of souls up to wickedness and evil.
Do you think that, I know you take the devil very seriously. Do you think that you, by messing around with this stuff, because I just think they're thick idiots, morons who think it's trendy to be, I don't think any of them could name you a single angel, including Lucifer.
No, I think there's a bit of both, right? So there's people that take this on board. People are a bit, like you're saying, they just take this on board as a bit of a fashion trend.
But I'm saying,
but there are people that take it serious.
But even if you are joking,
yeah.
Well, my question is, even if you're like just doing it to be cool, I reckon the devil's listening.
Of course.
He's going, I'll come and visit you.
He loves it if people don't believe in him. It gives him all the more ground to play with. Like, if you can be tempted by the devil and you don't believe in the devil, how are you going to have any defenses up against him?
Mm.
So this is why they always say the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is convincing the world he does not exist.
Yeah, he rules the world. He is the master of this firmament that we live on.
Lots of deception in this realm. And so we need to do everything we can to fight against it. And when we've got people like that, Marina Abramovic, and, saying we're having soul cooking, and we've got people like Lady Gaga and Jay-Z and Beyonce and Nicki Minaj.
Sorry,
and all these people
Beyonce culturally appropriating last week.
Yeah, yeah, she's gone white and blonde. She's turned into Kim Kardashian.
She's literally, but why are the elite? You cannot criticize the elites.
No, we can. We are doing.
Well, we can. We do. But it comes with quite a bruising situation. I just think it's like this dude who's representing Britain.
Who have we got?
Ollie Alexander.
Is he gay, trans?
Weirdly, I did a Lewis with him. He was an actor before he was a singer. And his music career has obviously fallen off a cliff. And he's doing, what Blue did in that last chance saloon of the Eurovision Song Contest. And I reckon he said he doesn't value our national flag and all of that stuff.
So why represent Britain?
I know. Eurovision Song Contest used to be a joke. Now it's irritating. And that's the thing I find about this stuff. It's like stuff that used to be funny is now really irritating.
Yeah.
And there's no release. There's no comedic release. And then you get some idiot, they, them, narcissistic pronoun, devil worshipping person who probably hasn't read a book in their entire lives, representing Ireland, which interestingly, I think it was you who actually tweeted it. I think it's you who tweeted it. Because if I'm wrong, correct me, when the Irish are protesting all the illegal immigration and Sinn Féin, who are allowing it, you said it was never about Irish nationalism, and it was never about religion or Catholicism. It was about communism.
I think I retweeted that, but yeah, right. there's something crazy going on in Ireland right now, isn't there? Where everyone's shouting Sinn Féin are traitors, Sinn Féin are traitors. The so-called nationalist party of the past is now anti-Irish because they're globalists. Yeah. They're on board with all the woke ideologies, including, it seems, Satanism at this point. It's like, what? That paradigm shift has happened so fast.
Well, they're communists.
Yeah.
It's communism. And it's, you know, for the reasons I said, you know, the fact that there's no video documentation of it. But I feel the same about Gaza, I hate to point out.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's about Gaza. I don't think these marches in London are about Palestine at all. I think they're communist marches.
Yeah, it's like that meme, isn't it? What do you want? Free Palestine. Do you really want? Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Communism.
Yeah. But I think that's encouraging from the alternate perspective to show that, you know, everybody, bar you and me and a few others, sorry, it's really itchy. Everyone, bar you and me and a few others, bought BLM straight up, hook, line, sinker. It was like, oh, BLM, oh, you're poor black people. And did you see that that internet and wokeness internet meme with Christy Noem? You know, these progressive leaders in America. She's the new unelected governor of New York. She replaced whatever his face is, Cuomo, when he was found to have, you know, been a bit satanic. And she was like, there are some people in the Bronx black people who don't know what a computer is. They don't know what a computer is.
What the word computer means. And then there's that black guy pretending to be a chimp.
He's running around trying to open the computer. It's fucking good,
It's hilarious.
It is so funny.
I mean, come on. It shows their racism, doesn't it? It shows how condescending their mentality is. They think there are people in the Bronx who are black who don't know what the word computer means. I don't think there's anyone in the Western world who doesn't know what the word computer means.
It's so racist because it's turning around to black people and saying, you're thick.
Yeah. I'm here for you. Vote for me because you're thickos.
But it seems to work. I mean, if Trump doesn't get back in, I don't know. I think the world really is.
Yeah, kaput.
It's kaput. But yeah.
In your time in that business, did you ever experience anything demonic or any kind of...
Oh, yeah. I really did, yeah. I went to a few parties, which...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And is it kind of taken for granted as a norm? Or if you said, I don't like this, would you be treated?
There's a few people in show business whose careers I could end tomorrow morning if I wanted to. Yeah.
Right.
There's a few. But in a way, I feel like... Why... You know, it's not something I can prove. It would be an allegation. I didn't take photos of it.
Yeah.
I know that someone did, though.
To be fair, I feel the same way about politics. I've said this recently. One day when I truly fear no consequences, I'm just going to name all these people.
I think that we've got to find... I think some of the piece that I... You know, the piece that I sort of look towards you for having that I need to find... for myself, is this sense of the fact that of not caring a little bit more.
Yeah.
Not because I care so much about things, and I find it really gets in the way. And I really care about the misuse of language and stuff like that, and it really fucks me
up. That reminds me. Theon, can we actually have a visual on the screen for every time Lawrence swears, please? People have asked for it.
It really upsets me when language is misused. And, you know, and the people don't just stand up when this woman's going, black people don't even know how to use a computer. Yeah. And you're just like, that's what I'm upset about.
Yeah.
But actually, I should just stop caring.
Well, it's not about not caring. It's like I always said, we all care. It's not that I don't care. It's that you can't carry that weight. You can't carry that burden. He is there to take that burden from you.
I know. And actually, I did have to really, I had a really bad day yesterday. So it was, you know, I was on my knees a lot of it.
Yep.
But
you weren't in church on Tuesday.
It's this Tuesday I'm coming. Oh, no. Oh, I didn't come.
No.
Calv. I'd only just got the kids back. I should have come. I'm really sorry.
That's all right. Apologize to me.
Well, no, but I don't like saying I'm going to do something and not do something. I mean, you could have sent a message to remind me.
How many times do I have to remind you to go to church? At some point, you've got to take personal responsibility.
I've taken some personal responsibility. Okay. I do have a few weights on my shoulders that I carry for myself and for others. But I think going back to the not caring thing, I think not taking it personally is quite an important thing. But it's very difficult not to take things personally when people spend a lot of their time trying to destroy you. Yeah. But que sera, baby.
Which I think is a good segue to our next topic.
Oh, God. I know. I don't even need to. I don't even need to bother, do I, opening it?
No.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Right. Narinder Kaur.
Right. What's the story about Narinder Kaur? Give us the backdrop.
So Narinder Kaur, who I've found, it's so strange because she's such a nice lady. She's a really nice, she's got a lot of goodness in her as well. And I used to have her on GB News. She used to talk rubbish at me. And I was like, that's not you. You don't think any of these things. You're just saying them to sort of get an applause or get kind of in with the wokies.
I don't know. I think sometimes she does think those things, but sometimes.
Yeah, some of it.
Generally speaking, I don't think she thinks.
She's not.
I think she's a nice girl. She is. In real life, she's really lovely.
Yeah.
But I disagree with everything she says. And I don't think she thinks anything through.
I'm not. I hope it doesn't come across as bad to say that I don't think she's the sharpest knife in the drawer. No. Anyway, sorry, Narinder, I think you do need to think things through. And if you are smarter, you need to think through. Anyway, she was taking a pop at my friend Lani.
Lovely Lani.
Who is sound as a pound and talking about something to do with, strumpet. I can't remember what she was doing. But anyway, she was talking about that and how the standards in public life. This had come off the back of, her saying that Tommy Robinson only got off from the police because of his white privilege. And I'm just like, oh my race God, baiting. Endless race baiting, constant use of the coconut stuff. Mm. And I just find it really, really unhelpful. So when she was sort of talking about that, someone in one of the WhatsApp groups, this picture appears of Narinder flashing her,
her core,
flashing her core, at a paparazzo, which was all the rage back in the day when you wanted to be famous. She said all the time, I want to be famous. She went on Big Brother.
Yeah.
And a lot of girls did it. Mm. And a lot of girls did it. If you speak to the girls, like the girls that I know, they were clever enough and they made money out of it. They let a photographer know.
That's so grim.
When they were going to do it.
So grim.
And they made a good living out of it. Who knows whether Narinder was the same. But anyway, so I post this and I go, Lalani is the Satan because, she got her BAPS out and you're, a pillar of righteousness. So then the lefties are like, whoa, we got to get him again. So they go into mob mode after me. And I'm like, they're going, we're going to get you for upskirting.
Right. And yeah, that new law. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of the online harms bill. And, I now know why Christopher Chope didn't vote for it. So the idea, so in my head, I was like, oh God, not more police. But I was also like, how am I responsible for A, her forgetting to wear her pants deliberately, and B, 20 years ago, and B, the very newspapers who proceeded to completely berate and chastise me with their own photos that they printed. Just, it was unbelievable. So anyway, I can take it on board, not the wisest wind up in the world, because I do like to point out people's hypocrisy in as hard a way as possible. Anyway, it develops. I send it off to Gordon, and he goes, this is why Chope didn't vote for it. Sharing or threatening intimate photograph or film exemptions. A person who A, shares a photograph or film which shows or appears to show another person in an intimate state does not commit an offence if the photograph was taken in a place which the public or a section of the public had or were permitted to have access, whether on payment or otherwise, outside a club were loads of paparazzis. B, had no reasonable expectation of privacy from the photograph or film being taken outside of club with a load of paparazzis. And A, reasonably believes that B was in the intimate state voluntarily. So unless she's going to come out for a, I had no idea there would be no one there. And I also have never worn pants in my life. I think she's going to be quite hard pushed. Anyway, so that was that. And they came back. And then one of my lovely followers points me in the direction of the fact that if you do really want to see, until very, very recently, Narinda Kaur's core, you can sign up to her OnlyFans account, which she deleted once she realized that someone was going to find out about it. So she had an OnlyFans account. So it just took us all the way back to the beginning. She was trying to kill me off in a political attack, and it didn't work.
So, I mean, we had to talk about this story because it's been such a big story for the last few days, but I hate this story. I don't think you and I haven't even spoken about this, have we? I've had so many people saying, sort your mate out, what's going on with your mate? I'm worried about your mate. What's happening with Lawrence? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, first of all, speak to Lawrence yourself. But secondly, what do you mean? Nobody comes out of this well. So the lefty mob did what lefty mobs do in jumping on the case, trying to take you down, to use the latest thing they possibly can to take you down. So the lefty mob are wrong. The papers who go after you and say, oh, Lawrence Fox exposing woman. These pictures are from the papers. So the picture you used was a paparazzi picture. Narinda doesn't come out of this looking good because she's selling. The reason she's upset with you for showing, Narinda's upset with you for showing her core is because she likes to sell it. And so she's losing our profit. And you don't come out well on this because no man should ever expose a woman like that. We are here to provide and protect for women. We are not here to kind of ridicule them and humiliate them publicly in that way. You should never, ever sexualize or objectify a woman in that way that you did. I think that was wrong.
I agree with you.
So no one comes out of this well.
I think no one comes out of it well. Let me try and just defend myself. I think you're right. Ultimately, I don't think it was, you know, if you tweet a million times a week or whatever, you know, you're constantly tweeting, you're going to get things wrong. That's the nature of these things. So I agree with you. It was wrong. But I think there's this thing of, I have an overprotective personality as well. I don't like it when people try and attack my friends.
No, I agree.
So I didn't engage the thought process that I should have engaged in order to go after her. But I am
Your instinct was right to defend Leilani. Your instinct was right, but the method was wrong. That's all. Mm. But I mean, I respect you for saying you were wrong.
No. I'm happy to admit when I'm wrong. And it's not a, like you say, no one comes out of it looking well. I think that it's sad that Narinda is, her goodness is, the thing that I find really sad is she's, when I was at school, when I was at Harrow and I was even less cool than I am now. And I was sort of gangly and long and like prepubescent and spotty and just wanted to be everyone's friend.
Right.
And I wasn't like everyone else had sort of got pubes and played rugby and was cool and they used to drink and I didn't do any of these things. Yeah. I was like desperate to become friends with them. I debase myself and my own, you know, innate, unique individuality, God-given individuality, to try and please other people.
Yeah.
And what's sad about this for her is that she's all of these like, please leave me alone. It's so horrible, you know, but $12.99 on OnlyFans, you know. It's that that debasement and the people that come in behind her, the Nicola Thorpes of this world and these, you know, hugely patronizing and hypocritical.
Well, they're using her for their own objectives.
It's the using
their own
her.
Political objectives.
And that she feels that she's part of the club she's not part of. And then I felt, and it reminded me of feeling like a club I wasn't part of at school. Right. And then
But Narinda's inconsistent. Like her first statement of we need better standards in public was right. But then on the other hand, she's selling her body for $12.99 on OnlyFans or whatever, apparently. So that doesn't hold up, does it?
No. But that's the thing. They are the exact thing they accuse you of. But maybe finding the hypocrisy in people needs to be more careful and more strategic. And, you know, but look, when I try and do it carefully and strategically, I'm 3 months, more than 90 days now since the, probably nearly 120 days since the Met Police were due to give me my subject access request.
Right.
So it's, I don't have faith in any of these.
I know.
They're just like, it's Lawrence Fox. We're not going to give him it. We don't care whether Sadiq Khan said send six coppers around his house. Let's really scare him.
It's supposed to be the law.
but the law doesn't exist anymore. Mm. That I'm very, very strongly of the belief that the law does not exist. And the law is, absolutely grossly unfair to anyone who's got even a slight twinge of conservative thinking, you know, let alone me, who's like, you know, you don't really get that many kind of conservative minded warlords, do you? Which is because it's usually I'm using their tactics, but from a totally different ideological position. Because they're not going to, you can't debate with these people. There's nothing, you're just not going to sit down and go, Narinder, do you realize that, you know, you can't, there won't be an argument. It'll be an ad hominem attack or a you're bullying me defense.
I think Carl tried it. I think he had her on Lotus Eaters, but she's just, for her in particular, it's impossible because she screeches over people and shouts over them. So, but for a lot of these lefties, that's what they do. They drown you out because they know they can't argue because they don't have that. There's no background to what they believe. There's no logic behind it. It's just emotive.
Yeah. It's very dangerous, though, way of teaching people to communicate. Because I was thinking, again, these, you know, these ridiculous, did you see the thing when it said Free Palestine or that someone had spray painted on the steps of Ottawa University?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they'd spelt Palestine wrong. And then the statues that they're defacing and burning the American flag. And it's this idea that I'm trying to work out, like I always try and work out, where does my sympathy with these people lie? Or empathy, which Lady and Justice Rice Collins says I lack.
Well, look at them during the election. They stormed one of the counts, didn't they? On polling day, they took over the election count. And what did the law do? What did the police do? Absolutely nothing. Just stood by and watched them shout Allahu Akbar, whatever they were shouting.
That's just like the Green Party counselling candidate shouting Allahu Akbar. I mean, the Green Party would have you believe that they gave a shit about the planet. Mm. They would have you believe that they care about the climate crisis and clean oceans and that. They don't give a shit. They're Marxist and they just hide behind this. Oh, we're the Green Party. Yeah. And it's the same as these little morons on the American university campuses.
Yeah.
Spraying Gaza on things.
I'm just laughing because I'm picturing that the Green Party celebration where you've got all these Mohammedans going, Allahu Akbar, you got this one chubby white guy behind them thinking, I just wanted to save the planet.
Yeah. I joined the Green Party to save the planet.
Ended up joining the Taliban.
Sorry, mate. I mean, that Shola, who's always, you know, another one of these.
The racist one. The
race baiter. Yeah, who's really...
calls herself a doctor, but no one can ever actually find any evidence of her credentials, that one.
She said, oh, well, you know, everyone says God is great all the time. You know, we're one of the three Abrahamic faiths. We've got to do it.
That's a lie. That's a deception.
I know it is a deception.
Because they say God is greater. Yeah. What they're saying is our God is greater than your God. They always leave that little ER out when they're telling people about it in English. So all the liberals are like, yeah, of course, they're just saying God is great. No, they're saying that their God is greater than ours. It's a sign of dominance to say they're taking over our land for their faith.
And what about our, you know, nipping over to Riyadh and doing a bit of street preaching? Do you think that would go down well?
Oh, someone tweeted me the other day, maybe we should have a policy that for every mosque that's built in England, we should build a church in Saudi Arabia.
Ooh, that would be good. That tweet went pretty mental. My tweet, they got so upset about that as well. The minute they hadn't mended me, hadn't killed me, I then got sent a set of stats and tweeted them out, and I didn't pay any attention to it. I was having dinner with some friends, and I looked at it, and it was like 19 million people. I was like, uh-oh, here come the... This is big enough for Ash Sarkar to get out. I'm surprised, what's his name? I'm surprised Gordon Brown didn't come out of retirement and demand. Yeah. Why is it that we have... what I was trying to say is, where's my empathy for these people?
Right.
Through successive government policies, we have broken the covenant between the old truism of saying we provide a better life for our children than the one we had. Mm. None of these bastards are going to be able to buy a house. Mm. Really? Very unlikely.
Yeah.
They're all going to be working two jobs if they can be bothered to work at all once they've left school and realized that the real world doesn't give a shit whether you're offended or not.
Yeah.
And they can't function in the society as it's built. So no wonder they want to tear it down, is what I'm saying. We created, I don't think our generation did this. I think the generation before us, the boomer generation, did, they just thought about themselves.
Yeah.
And then you look back on the banking crisis and bailing out the banks. You look back on if Tony Blair's made up wars.
It's their pensions that are crippling us.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? It's their pensions that are crippling us.
The biggest expense other than the NHS in the economy is the boomers' pensions. And you've got people moaning that they're going to have to spend another few years working before they can take their pensions. Our generation won't even have pensions by the time we get to that age. It just won't. There's no money.
No state pensions anyway.
No. But then should we have state pensions? Should we not save up and provide for ourselves and our families and actually plan ahead rather than relying on the state to pay for everything?
Well,
just putting it out there.
Yeah, I think you've got a point. I think it's I do think people need to take more responsibility for their own stuff, because also life is a bit edgier when you do. But I can see why they would go, I want global government. I've been told that the planet's going to boil, the sun monster's going to boil the planet, and that everyone's a racist, and that, you know, the flag is evil, and there's nothing to be proud of, no sense of national identity, no sense of Bushra was going on about this. You know, what are British values? And it's like, well, I don't know. What are Pakistani values?
Right.
Like, you know them when you see them.
Yeah. It's a deception, that question is purposefully supposed to throw you off, because you can't describe something that's intangible. And so the moment you can't describe it explicitly, they're like, it doesn't exist. And that's the lie that they like to perpetuate.
Yeah. And they're winning. Mm. Unless we start, I mean, they're not winning in terms of the fact that Hamza got the hoof, but they're winning in terms of the cities, and they're winning in terms of universities and education.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the will turncoat Tories will turn around and go, well, I'm not calling them a trans woman anymore, and just for political expediency. But I also think that there's not even a political way out of this.
No, there isn't. I mean, democracy, we know, doesn't work anymore. So what is the answer? If you can't vote your way out, you can't elect someone who's aligned with your principles, then what do you do? And everyone keeps saying, oh, there's going to be a civil war. I don't think there's going to be a civil war. The English do not revolt. We haven't revolted in centuries. We're just not of that mindset. We kind of just sit by and watch the world burn.
We do riot, though. The Brits don't have rioted.
I don't think we do. I don't think English people riot.
There were riots in London when I was 20, I don't know when it was, 2014, 2015. There were some.
No, they weren't English people.
Were they not?
Those London riots weren't.
Who were they?
Mostly immigrants.
What were they writing about?
I don't know. I think it was a copy and paste of, or a copycat of what was going on in America, wasn't it? I think there was lots of Afro-Caribbean people writing, and lots of Mohammedans writing.
God, so we're just going to sit by and let it happen. But we've got the 1st of
middle
June.
Classes.
We've got the 1st of June. We've got the celebration of freedom of speech in London, which please do come to, and bring a friend, bring many friends, because we've got to show that there is a part of our society that really does care and wants to protect. And as that lovely lady, I'm not sure what her name is on Twitter, but she's brilliant, said, I just want Britain back.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I really feel, and she's got a much better way of doing it than I do, unless I'm talking to someone like you or I'm in conversation rather than my kind of public outward facing.
Well, it reminded me of one of Betty's videos, like just out and about on a walk or a jog or whatever.
Yeah, And it's that actually, that it's the motivating, but weirdly, it takes that level of kind of, come on guys, we've got to get out there, with the underdog mentality, which the Brits do respond to. So there will be a big event on June the 1st, and hopefully people that will see a lot of numbers.
That'll be good.
And then we'll see how the police police that. Right. I imagine it'll be very different to the way they police the Palestinian marches.
Yes, but thankfully I think Tommy's got a bit of a plan for that. But I think the answer really is just abandon the cities, just leave them, let the Mohammedans have them. They're just going to destroy them. Move out of the cities, go back to the towns, the villages, set up real communities centered around the parish, help each other out, raise your families together, take your kids out of state school, just do things properly the old-fashioned way. That's the way to win back the country.
Amen, Father Calvin Robinson.
All right, should we do Theon's envelope? Yep.
I agree with every word you said. I think that's, as a short-term measure, that is, there's no other way of doing it. Okay. Right. The Garrick Club.
Oh, yeah.
Votes to allow women members for the first time.
Why?
Is that turkeys voting for Christmas?
It's progressives being progressive. It's Stephen Fry and people like that saying, oh, we have to be here for diversity and equality and inclusion. And no, we don't. We don't have to do any of those things.
Why did you join an all-male club?
Exactly.
If you want women into it.
A gentleman's club is a space for gentlemen to be in the company of gentlemen for a period before they go back to their wives or whatever. It's like, there's nothing wrong with that. That's traditional. It's fine.
It's
just in the same way.
Much needed.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you've got, I'm very lucky in my relationship. My, Lizzie's very super chill, and we can do anything, but I've had relationships in my life when I've been like, oh, okay.
Right. Sometimes
have a pint with a mate before I go home.
And men need that actually. We need that testosterone boost, and we only get it from being surrounded by other men. It's part of our nature. So there's nothing wrong with it. It is discriminatory, but not all discrimination is bad.
I liked it, some discrimination.
Right.
But I discriminate my kids from driving cars.
What other discrimination I like?
What?
Letting women have their own safe spaces, changing rooms, toilets.
Well, they've brought that back now, haven't they? Because it's nearly general election time. Oh, look, suddenly it's going to be law that you're all going to have your own changing rooms, and we're not going to give Danny McDeviant a room to go and sit and knock one out watching a bunch of girls having a wee. I mean, it's how we got to that part of the country.
Well, it's all related. It's all down to, a lot of this is down to feminism. That's one branch of liberalism, which is a branch of Marxism that's all come from. I know people will say, no, they're two different things. They're two sides of the same coin. And feminism told women that they had to become like men in order to be equal. And then we've got that progressed into the trans movement, which said that women had that men could become like women and take over women's spaces. So by women taking over men's spaces, men have retaliated by taking over women's spaces. Let's just let men have their spaces and women have their spaces.
Yeah, I agree, because there is a club in London which is all women. It's a women-only club.
And I don't want to go there.
No one's going to kick up a fuss. I wouldn't want to go there either. There's not many clubs in London I'd want to go to, and certainly not the Garrick anymore. I've been to the Garrick a few times, but I can put some money on the fact that I doubt Uncle Edward voted for that policy.
Right.
He's got some pretty old-school views.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think you'd mind me saying that now, because he's, best part of 90.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's great to have male-only spaces and female-only spaces. And, it's the same way as, if your kids had their mates over, you wouldn't go and sit in the room with them.
No.
It's like kids-only spaces.
Yeah. And it's not everywhere. It's not all the time. It's a specific area.
Niche
for a specific
market. Yeah. And also then this thing that Pearl said that keeps coming back to me, which is that, and you've said as well in a sort of more intellectual way, which is that leftism and wokery is basically the political manifestation of femininity.
Yes, it is.
Which I have to say, when you think about, I was thinking about the Bible this morning. I was thinking, of course the feminists are upset that Eve did the apple. And of course they are. But what is the Bible trying to tell you in that story? It's trying to say something about women, isn't it? Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it is.
But at the same time, it says great things about women too.
Of course. A lot of feminists will hate that term of submission. And this is, women are supposed to submit to their husbands. That term will drive people nuts. Just me saying it right now, there'll be people in the comments, can you say that in 2024? But this is the order of God's order. Women should submit to their husbands.
Yeah, and men should die for their wives.
Husbands should, absolutely, should serve their wives.
Yeah. How did someone put it? Women are about compassion and men are about justice or something like that. I can't remember, but we do have very distinct separate roles, and it doesn't make us not equal. It makes us a union. The other thing they hate, and also, sorry about this, I've never met a happy feminist.
No.
Yeah, I've never met one.
That's true.
I've not met a single happy one. I've met a lot of really angry ones. I've gone out with a couple of really angry ones. Mm. Didn't last long. Mm. They're like, because when you first meet a girl, you pretend you pretend
to be a feminist.
Well, no, you don't pretend to be a feminist. But if the goal is to woo the woman, then, you're not going to come out of left field and go, AstraZeneca vax is a complete waste of time. Your first date's not going to be spent discussing controversial issues. And you can end up in short-term relationships with women who've come out as a feminist in a car ride on the way home and then ask you whether you're a male feminist, and you start getting a bit itchy and going,
male feminist.
I get a bit itchy and I'm like, at least I can split the cab fare with you. That'd be a relief.
But it's an ideology built upon hate, so they can't be happy because their foundation is hate.
Yeah, and actually the only ideology which is built on love really is Christianity. And I don't know enough about Judaism. And I do know that Islam wants to conquer everything, and therefore I can't think that's a great idea.
No.
And I don't think Christianity, in its modern iteration, I'm amazed that we've got to look to Africa for the canon or whatever it's called,
Orthodoxy.
For the orthodoxy. And for the core of it, rather than Welby, who's essentially just a PR guy for the woke movement.
Yeah, he was in Rome this week, actually. A lot of the Anglican primates met with the Vatican. So Archbishop Justin Welby met with the Pope. They had a very successful meeting.
I'm a bit confused by the Pope, because sometimes he's quite base and sometimes a complete no.
I don't think he's a good Pope. I don't think he's a good man.
Okay. But okay, tell us how you really feel, Cal.
That doesn't mean he gets everything wrong. You know, a broken clock is right twice a day. He's trying to look for, or at least he's saying he's looking for ways of unity and bringing everyone back into the fold to reunite the church would be a very good thing with both the Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholics, but also with the Anglicans and the Roman Catholics. And a lot of it comes down to how we perceive the Pope, and Roman Catholicism might need to dial that back down to the Patriarch of the West, which is a title he's re-embraced. You know, one amongst a patriarch amongst patriarchs, not necessarily this ultimate supreme leader. But conversations are being had, at least, which is fruitful. But what I find interesting about it is that a lot of the primates of the Anglican Communion didn't go. And in fact, the ones that represented the majority of Anglicans around the world did not go. And their reason was because both Canterbury, as in the Church of England, and Rome are essentially blessing same-sex unions at this point. So the Africans are saying, well, you're both woke. We don't want anything to do with it.
Right. And they, you know, they can have that position. I mean, did you see George Galloway? They tried to...
I try not to. What's he done now?
Well, he was very sensible. He just said, his argument was, he said, they're not equal. Gay relationships and heterosexual relationships.
Normal. He used the word normal.
He said they're not.
He was right.
And his argument was, if everyone was gay, there wouldn't be any people there.
Yeah. There is such a thing as normal or normative. And just to point that out isn't homophobic. But of course, these days it is, because it's about everything.
Why does everyone want everything to be fucking normal?
Well, you know what?
I'm sick and tired of normal. I hate normal, because what normal does is it lets in horrible people. And it normalizes their horrible behavior.
Well, all of it is a lie. That argument is the same lie as the feminist argument. It's all about this equality. But there is no equality in this earth. There's no possible equality. So it's all a deception. We're chasing a false dream and a false narrative. The only equality we have is in heaven.
Yeah, where Keir Starmer goes, I need kindness and respect. And this is how he's raised on kindness and respect. I'm like, well, no wonder you're an ambitious careerist plonker then, who leads the Labour Party. Because, you know, those are the sort of values that will get you by. Yeah. But the whole thing is an economic argument anyway. It's not, none of this stuff, all of it is a smokescreen for communism.
Yes.
It's just like, no, we'll make it about racism this week. We'll make it about, body dysmorphic children.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff that they're doing. I was reading and listening to Abigail Schreier talking about kids, and she's like, nobody says no to children anymore. And the conservative argument that fathers are, you know, it's fatherless homes is what causing, you know, terrible children. She went, no, in the research that she'd done, the father was present. He just wasn't a man.
Yeah.
He was just like, he was sort of cucked his role away.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the reasons I don't really have that many problems with my kids, and, you know, they have problems elsewhere, is that they know when I'm serious.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a bad thing. And I will teach them that exact thing as well.
Just be a father.
Be a man.
Yeah.
You're going to be a man one day. And men don't walk around appeasing people. We've seen what appeasement does in every situation in life. It is a terrible thing. Your job is to provide a deterrent to other men who want to do bad things to your women. Or not your women, but women that you are.
They are women, as a society. I've spoken about this before plenty. I don't think it's necessarily people's fault that we're not taught how to be men anymore.
Right.
Like we just try to be boys for our entire life because it's being a man child is more fun, right?
So it's not.
Less responsibility, or people don't want to age, or whatever. I don't know what the reason is, but there's no coming of age anymore.
They don't want to die.
From boyhood to manhood.
They don't want to die because the faithless don't want to die. And that's the whole point of it, is those that they're only looking at your life as 4 score years and 10. They're not thinking about the meaning of those 4 score years and 10. Mm. They're looking at how they can get as much power and control over other people.
Yeah.
That's where it all comes from. Whereas if you look at your life as a journey, and this, you know, whether you like it or not, I've seen dead bodies, including my mother's, and it is a very strange thing to see a dead body, because it is definitely just a body, and it definitely isn't your mother. Mm. So what it is, whatever this thing inside of us is, this soul, that's eternal, whether you like it or not. And the reason why these people can't cope is because they don't want to die.
Yeah.
That's why they go for zero everything. zero COVID, zero net zero, zero. Ultimately, they want zero death, and they're not going to get zero death. So people should, you know, just fucking man up a bit.
Yeah, I think that's a good motto for this podcast. Just man up.
Man up. The one where we agree to man, that we need to teach the youth to man up.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting that the huge numbers of 14 to 29-year-olds are converting to Catholicism, particularly. Yes, yes. And Orthodox Christianity.
A very traditional Catholicism too, yeah.
Yeah. And they are utterly rejecting woke shit.
Yeah.
So please God, my kids, they've tried very hard to turn my kids woke, and they've succeeded in some ways, but not really. I mean, imagine having dinner with me every night. It's a nightmare for them.
Yeah, but I mean, it's constant battle because they're hearing one thing at school and they're hearing one thing at home. And so in their heads, they're going to have to constantly compete for ideas.
Well, the good ideas are they'll know that, you know, your life has got more meaning if you seek that meaning and you seek the truth. And as you say, you don't try and invent one that fits your shitty little meaningless, insignificant life. And you say that my life does matter to somebody, you know, wow. Sorry. Yeah. We went there. Anyway, I think.
Profound.
Well, it's not profound, Kel, but thanks for the, you know, you were just making up for calling me an asshole earlier.
I never did that.
It's been lovely seeing you. Will you have dinner with me tonight?
Yes.
Lovely. And lots of love to all of you. Thank you very much for your comments. They're really insightful and really interesting. And it's so good that we've got this discussion going. And thank you for tuning in. And we will see you next week.
Take care. God bless.